Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
I was at a party and a guy, I was taught in this like a group of people, and I was like, that man doesn't see me. And he reached out and tried to put his hand through me. Like he like went to shake someone's hand and just was like, oh, I didn't see you there. And I was like, I knew it.
It's like, how can you fucking not? It's so weird.
I know, I'm 6 feet tall and out to her pregnant. But I wasn't useful to him.
Wow.
Or interesting.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Awkward Sex in the City. I hope you're good. I hope you're feeling good. I hope you're loving life. I hope whatever's going on is what should be going on. And if it's not, that you know that what you want is right around the corner, or what you need is right around the corner. I don't know why. I feel like I always have to start off being like, let's be super positive, because like, who fucking knows, right? Like, that's toxic, if anything. But here we are. That's where I went. This is where we're going. This episode, I got to sit down with Sarah Hartshorne again. And the last time she was on the podcast, we talked about it. We're pretty sure she gave birth like literally like the next day. So we talk a lot about pregnancy again. Have you noticed there's been a trend with like pregnant and or just been pregnant women on my pod? Because I don't know if you do this, but when change is afoot, right around the corner for me, I like to dive deep in that. I want all the information I can, whether good, whether bad, whether right or wrong, so that I feel as if I have some control of this impending change that is coming up. And so that is exactly what I have been doing. And it kind of hit me recently that I've been doing that. But also I find all of these women so important and so interesting. And I was really excited to have Sarah back on, because I, you know, followed her, you know, pregnancy journey online, and just such a cool person, such an inspirational person. And that, like, she just fucking does it, and she just fucking says it. And I'm so down for that type of energy. And so I have to say, I do feel like in this episode, I think I personally go a little bit deeper than I have in the past about like some of my fears and some of my hiccups, a big one. And I think I've always been afraid to talk about it out loud, because you're not supposed, it always feels like you're not supposed to, but talking about weight gain, especially in pregnancy, and just having gained weight in general. And we go into that a lot at the end of the episode. And just, you know, maybe a general trigger warning if, like, you know, weight, dieting, stuff like that can be triggering. And it, like, legit can, you know. I find it, if I'm around people that are talking like crazy about diets, it's anxiety inducing, because, you know, you've worked so hard to get away from that. Like, just not where I want to be with my body and things like that. And long story short, I have gained 40 pounds, let's say 40 pounds since dating Aaron in the past like 8 years. And it's kind of yo-yoed. It's gone up and down, because I've done what? Dieting. But now I've hit a spot where not dieting, I've stopped dieting since I did Whole30 back in 2020, and have had to learn what eating healthy looks like while not losing weight. And I think when you have been inundated and you have been on a diet majority of your life, it is a really weird clusterfuck. And we go really into it. And just, you know, I have a very big fear of gaining weight while pregnant. I've only said that to a couple people. I said it on the podcast in this episode. We'll talk about it more. I do apologize. There is a helicopter going above me. But I think you're just going to find this really interesting, and I can't wait to hear what you think. And maybe you feel the same way too, or you don't, or you're in a different place right now with that part, you know, and that's okay. You can follow Sarah at Sarah B. Hartshorn on all the social medias, and I can't wait to hear what you think about this episode. See you on the other side.
So the last time I think we talked, I think the next day you gave birth.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure you were like very, very close.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I was so convinced. I probably said this. I was so convinced I was A, going to go past my due date. And I was pretty sure it was going to be July 4th. And she was born June 30th on her due date. She was born at 1:30 a.m. She made it like an hour and a half in.
Wow.
So yeah. And I had so much stuff scheduled on her due date. I had like a pedicure. I had another podcast recording. I had a show with Luisa Diaz, and I spent like the first 14 hours of labor being like, I'm so sorry, I have to cancel. I'm in active labor right now. That is so funny. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So yeah, I did have a baby.
Didn't you perform too? Like, didn't you?
I went into labor right either during or after a set. Yeah.
What does that feel like? Is it like how you can tell your like tampon has overflowed? All of a sudden, like your vag kind of feels really open, and you're like, oh, something's going on down there.
No, I didn't feel any of that. Also, well, so I was in labor. It's different for everyone, but I was in labor for 28 hours. So
Jesus.
It was like, yeah, I know. But so it was kind of more gradual for me. So like, I was just like uncomfortable, and I was like, I think I even said something in the set, but then I was like, oh, you know, I'm like, I was like, I'm uncomfortable months along, or I can't remember. I had a more clever way of saying it at the time, but I was just like, I'm stupid pregnant. And that's what I would say on stage, because I had like hit the point where when you see someone, like there's no denying that they are pregnant and they look like they're going to tip over. I was that pregnant, and I'd hit that a couple weeks before. And so yeah, it just felt like I couldn't get comfortable for like a while, where I was just like, eh. And then I went home, and it was late. It was like a late show. So I like tried to go to bed, and then I was lying there, and I was like, but at the end of pregnancy, you like, everyone says like, oh, you're going to be so hungry and so tired. You're so hungry and so tired because you can't eat or sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You can't eat more than like anything the size of a fist, because the baby is like up to your boobs.
Oh my God.
And so there's no room in your stomach. So you have to have these tiny, so like you're always hungry because you can eat this tiny amount, and then that's it. And you can sleep. At the time, I thought I wasn't sleeping. Now I know that it was okay sleep. Like, but you do get up to pee all the time, and like, so I was like, okay, is this like normal, super pregnant can't sleep, or is this like something else? And then I was like, oh no, I'm like uncomfortable. Like I was like, oh, there's like something happening, and I felt it's called back labor. My back hurt. Some people feel it like abdominal cramps, and some people feel it in the back. And I felt it in the back, and then I was like, and then, yeah. And then I don't know if you've ever been to a chiropractor where they like put electrodes on your back and kind of gently zap the muscles.
Mm-mm. I've never been to a chiropractor before, actually.
Some chiropractors have this thing where they put these little electrodes on your back and they like zap the muscles, and it feels good, you know. It's like the electrodes like tense the muscles so your body relaxes them. Mm-hmm. Is the idea, I think. So I had those, and I put those on my back, and it was amazing. My brain was like, oh, there's extra there's like so much going on that it like can't process it. So I didn't feel the contractions.
Oh, okay.
So for like hours, my husband would only know there was a contraction because he'd feel me click the device to turn it up. I'd go like, pop, 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 pop. And he was like, are you having a contraction? And I was like, wait, yes.
Because you did a home birth too, right? So you had like all your stuff, you like all your creature comforts.
Yeah. Which truly, like, I know I'm a big hippie, but so recommend. Because hospitals suck. And like, I don't know. Yeah, we were just at home. I could eat. Well, I couldn't eat because my body was not into it. But some people are like really hungry and want to eat. And you can't do that if you're at the hospital. And so, yeah, I could drink as much water as I wanted. And yeah, just like hang out in bed.
Yeah.
For like a while. My midwives were like asleep on my couch and I was like chilling in the bed because it was such a long labor and they were like, okay, it's going to be a while. But it didn't make sense for them to leave. So we were all just kind of like hanging out. I did throw up a lot, but that was
from the pain or like from.
No, it was a weird hormonal thing, I think. I get nauseous when I PMS sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think it was just a very extreme version of that, which makes sense because a lot of hormones. And so yeah, I couldn't keep anything down, which did kind of, that was like the worst, honestly, that was the worst part.
I have like a huge fear of throwing up. Like I don't know who I was telling recently, but the last time I've thrown up sober was like in second grade. Any other time I've thrown up, it's been because I've been drunk and I'm like, okay, let's just get it over with.
Yeah.
But I am very afraid of that part for pregnancy and childbirth.
I was pretty afraid of it. And then I don't know why it like wasn't as bad as I thought. Like it happened. I had morning sickness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I was super, I think we've talked about this. I was so afraid of throwing up that I've only thrown up from drinking like once.
Oh, wow.
And I've been so drunk that I probably should have, but I am so stressed about it that I kind of like,
okay, like hold it in.
Yeah, and I like don't listen to my body. It's not good. But I don't know why it like wasn't that bad until labor. Labor did suck, and I was throwing up a lot. But like, I think also I don't know. I had a year in New York where I got thrown up on by other people.
Oh my God!
So much. It wasn't even just in New York. We went to New Orleans for New Year's, and a waitress at Cafe Du Monde threw up on us at 4 a.m. I think she'd been like been out partying. This is as who knows. I think she'd been out partying and then had to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And she like threw up on my husband and I.
Oh my God.
Like, that just happened.
Shit. Yeah. Oh my God.
Ooh. I don't even know if we must have paid because I think you pay when you get the stuff. But we like ran out of there and it was really cold and I'd only brought one coat and it was like.
It was just covered. Oh no.
It was just the arm, but enough, you know. Yeah, it was a weird year. I had a weird couple of years where I just kept like someone threw up on me on the train.
Oh my God. That has to mean something.
I know. I think it was the universe being like, you gotta face this fear. Like you gotta
like you don't know what's coming. You gotta get used to this. You're gonna have someone throwing up on your arm. A lot coming.
Yeah. And then I have, knock on wood, I don't even want to say anything to jinx it, but I have like, I had the least pukey baby.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Yeah. I think she did like once.
Wow.
And that was it. Yeah. I've been super lucky. Yes. Not very spit uppy, very little reflux. So I don't know.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
That's yeah.
Yeah.
God, I think Yeah.
Because now you're like in the thick of it. Now she's like over a year old. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's over a year old.
What do you love and like, what do you hate?
I mean, I was just talking about this with my therapist about how like, I read this article about how it's like easier to share the bad stuff, especially with other parents where you're like, this is happening to you too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because A, it's like a way of bonding. And also I think like, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's sort of easier to bond over negative things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Trauma bonding, for sure.
And you don't want to feel. Yeah. And you don't want to feel like you're gloating ever. Mm-hmm. But I have been so, so lucky. And a lot of it is just that I'm so, so privileged that like we can, you know, afford a nanny and 3 days a week, which isn't like enough to get all the work that I have done, but I'm like squeaking it in, you know. And it is, I think, also because I waited until I was so sure, and I read about every bad thing that could happen for so long that I think I was like so scared. I like knew I wanted kids, but I was so scared of it for so long that I really had to like work. I really worked through that. I read if I saw an article that was like, here are the 10 things no one talks about during pregnancy, I was clicking. And eventually I was like, okay. Even with all this terrible knowledge that is like in my head, I think I want to do this. So then I think when it actually happened, like, yeah, it's insane. And I've been sadder and I've felt like more alone and angrier. And every emotion I have felt more than I'd ever felt in my life. But I so much have this knowledge of like, this is the thick of it. This is the part. These are the years that it's like, I don't know, like, I love that you do get eased into a lot. Like, I've been very surprised, like, okay, so you have the baby, right? And then everybody, the whole time you're pregnant, everybody says, oh, sleep while you can. It's about to get so much harder. And I was like, okay. So even when I was like, you know, just miserably pregnant, the last month is just like,
so
you bad. Just waddle around and
like
you're...
Like, how do you even wipe your ass? I was asking my friend that the other day, because like when I'm bloated, just bloated, it's like so hard for me to like get back there.
I have a bidet. Yeah, I got a bidet because like, did I get it while I was pregnant? Maybe. No, I think I got it before, but it was clutch. And I actually even had a little travel one in my purse because it was like so uncomfortable. Yeah, it's this little thing and you just squirt your butt and it's great.
I mean, I love that.
Oh, luxury. It's in my purse. And I'm someday someone is going to be like, what is that? And I'm going to have to be like, oh, I spray my ass with it. But hasn't happened yet. I could see my mother-in-law looking at it once and I was like, don't do it. Please don't ask me. I'm not ready to have, we're getting so much closer and I love it so much, but I'm not ready.
I'm not ready for this conversation just yet.
Yeah. But then like, so you have the baby and then you're not pregnant anymore. Which like rules. Like,
that's so great to hear, to be honest, because I thought it would be like, because it is like, you know, I'm not even pregnant yet. People just know we're starting to try, and the amount of advice that people want to give you unsolicited that is horrifying and unfounded, I think, majority of the times, that like, always. I was like, shit, am I just gonna miss being pregnant? Like, am I gonna have this baby and then be miserable for the rest of my life?
No, not for one second. And I didn't hate being pregnant. I didn't like, you know, because you hear people who are like, oh my God, I love being pregnant. It was the best part of my life. And I didn't feel like that. But I did also, you also hear people who are like, I hated being pregnant. It was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And then it got worse because I had the kid. And it's like, oh, well, fuck. Like, and I didn't feel like that either. I was like, eh, a lot of it kind of sucked. And I was super uncomfortable. And like, I had like, you know, I feel like every pregnancy has like something that makes it even a little worse than the average, like, you know what I mean? Everyone has like my friend right now had morning sickness way into her second trimester. Ooh. That sucks.
Yeah.
And that's like what everyone says like, oh, first trimester, then it stops. And she was like, nope. So, you know, and my thing was that I had fibroids. And it's super grim, but they died. Like my body, they shifted in a way where they weren't getting blood anymore. And so they like died and it was super painful. And for 2 days, I just couldn't move.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it sucked. But then like, I don't know. So that, you know, so it wasn't like great and it wasn't the worst thing. I don't, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's very, like a very fair, description of it all. And what's so crazy too is like, you know, pregnancy is in so many ways awful, but then I don't know if it's just women are just so strong that they're like, yeah, you just do it. And what
you just kind
of
do.
And I don't know if you had this happen to you, but the amount of advice I've gotten from men has been ridiculous. And I'm like, I don't want to hear from you unless a baby came out of your penis. Like, I don't want to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, and they're like, oh, I'm in the club because my wife did it. It's like, no, you got to sit in on meetings. You're not in the club.
And just like, I remember talking about with someone like my plan for my job after, and I was like, I want to do like X, Y, and Z. So hopefully we can like for a second, you know, not have to pay for childcare just yet, because what I'll be doing will be like emails from home, basically. And yeah. This guy was like, it's not going to work. And I'm like, who the fuck are you? I have friends running a business who didn't even take maternity leave. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, you run a fucking business. You're writing a fucking book. And it's like, where the audacity of these people with penises that I'm like, until you go through what we go through, even just a period, fuck off. I don't want to hear from you. Like, ever.
Yeah.
It like set me off one day. Sorry, go on.
That most of the men, I think it's so hard that like most of the men who've had heart attacks are boomer men, because part of me is like, I don't want to talk to you until you've had, because they say that like a period is like a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Like that's for like, you know, bad menstrual cramps mm-hmm. are on par. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, if you've had a heart attack, I can trust that you've experienced this level of pain. And if you haven't, then I don't. Maybe you have. Maybe you absolutely have. I'm sure, you know, lots of men experience lots of pain. I get that. But I can't trust it. I can't trust you.
And even like with a heart attack though, like everything stops, right? Like you got to go mm-hmm. immediately to the hospital. Bad menstrual cramps. No, we expect this report done. We expect you mm-hmm. to perform. We expect you to do whatever and smile the whole fucking time and pretend like everything's okay. I get very, very upset. I don't know where it comes from. It's like a little triggering to talk about pain with men. And even like when I got like my IUD out to start, my husband wanted to walk with me to the office. And I was like, no, like I need to like mentally prepare myself for this pain. And it wasn't painful. Thank God. It was actually super simple.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I literally coughed and she like just pulled it out. It was wild, but he was like, I think he was like a little upset because he wanted to be there. And I was like, I hear you. And I really love that you wanted to be there, but like, you don't understand like some of the pain and like what we have to do. Like we just people with vaginas and uteruses have to do to get ready to experience that pain. Like,
yeah,
I just can't hold your hand through that while I'm holding my hand out through that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I can't, because also we're trained to worry about other people's feelings. Mm-hmm. And so even if he wasn't trying to make it about him, like mm-hmm. I know that for me anyways, a lot of times my brain makes it about him.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's not like helpful for either of us, that's how I'm conditioned. So that's what I'm going to do.
No, absolutely. Same.
I will say pregnancy also super helps with that. And labor, because you can't, you just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I was really worried. My husband was also amazing. Like he was just like very good and did all the research and really was like he knew all the phases and what to expect. And so I never like had to explain anything or like, he just was like, he very much was like, I am the supportive player and that's my whole role. And he was like, he really got that. And even when, so during labor, everyone hits a point where they're like, I can't do this. I can't do this. And that usually means that you're about to like crown and things are about to like really happen.
Oh.
And it had been so long. And I kept being like, is this it? Am I hitting it? I do feel like I don't want to do this anymore. And he was like, he was like super gentle, but he was like, I don't think so. And then it happened. And I was like, I cannot do this. And they were like, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes. And I was like, fine, you're right. I absolutely can. I don't want to do this. And he was like, okay, but remember, this means we're towards the end. And I was like, no, it doesn't, because I don't want to do it. It's not that I can't. I can do it. I don't want. And he was like, totally.
Mm-hmm.
but I think this might be it.
And that makes me that makes me so happy too, that to hear like there is this group of men that are really starting to get it. I'm really starting to know how to actually be there without like, you know, causing this extra mental load. And then there's times where you're like, oh, I thought you were that type of person. It turns out you're not, like not Aaron, but like watching like other people and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's always like a little scary for me when you're like, you see other dynamics and you're like, is this just what we all turn into? Like how will this work?
It's so scary. Mm-hmm. And you hear horror stories. And I don't know. We've got to find better outlets for people that have traumatic birth experiences, because we've got to stop. They have to stop talking to pregnant people about it. Because that was the thing, is, or when you're trying, I'm sure it's the same, where people are like, oh, I tried for 2 years and then I had the worst pregnancy. And then it's like, oh, you want to be in this club? I need to tell you about my experience. And I think that's because we don't have good outlets for it. Like, and I remember, like, sometimes someone would be like, oh, let me tell you about my experience. And I would be like, actually, oh, full up.
Like, I've hit my quota.
Yeah. I'm literally full of another person. So I got no room.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good point. I haven't really heard from good pregnancies. But I think it's like what you're saying, though. Like, good pregnancies kind of go under the radar, because people aren't going to be like, I'm having the best time of my life. Yeah. This isn't how I'm going to, like, you know, bond with you. Because I think one thing women like to do is protect each other. So and this is just my theory, but just by being like, okay, this is what happened to me, just to brace yourself. The intention is good, but it's like, oh, are we making this worse? Like, what?
We don't want to lie. We don't want to sugarcoat things. But then also, I will say, like, I also think even if you have a quote unquote good pregnancy, it's still, like, kind of horrific.
Yeah.
Like, I had a great, other than the vomiting, I had a home birth. Nothing went wrong. Everything was lovely. Like, one small thing went wrong, but it was, like, fine. My midwife was able to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And it was just that my placenta didn't, like, come out like it's kind of supposed to. And then it did. It was, like, and it was, like, fine and not a big deal. And it was horrifying. Like, I lost so much blood, like the amount of blood that they had, like, because you do, that's what happens. That was super normal.
Whoa. I didn't know that.
Yeah. You lose a ton of blood. Even if everything goes like it's supposed to.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Like, if you do a home birth or if you're in the hospital, they, like, prep you. And like, even if you have a really good pregnancy, and everything goes like it's supposed to, the baby pushes up on your lungs and your stomach. That's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. There's no scenario where that's comfortable. So I think it's also, like, good pregnancies go under the radar because what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And I will say, like, there were things that I did love about being pregnant. It was the most fascinating. And then having a baby too, it is the most fascinating sociological experiment that I have ever done. Like, the way people treat you is so fascinating. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get enough of it. And honestly, that was the one thing that I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna miss that. Like, I'm so glad I'm not pregnant. Lying on my stomach, just being able to, like, get up without, like, Jesus, all right, and it's happening. And yeah, being able to go to the bathroom. I mean, after birth, that's a whole thing, but that's just a couple days. Like, and even then, even when I was, like, having, like, it's horrifying, it's a fucking horror show, but, like, I, like, lowered myself onto the toilet and I, like, braced in the way that I had been doing, and then I was like, oh, I can just sit.
Oh yeah.
And then I lose a ton of blood, but I can just sit. Like, I can just sit quietly to pass these clocks. Like,
oh my god. Yeah. It is. So I mean, like, did you feel like people right after treated you differently, like, immediately after?
I was really afraid they would. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to miss that. Like, I'm going to miss, you know, but then you have this baby and everybody and it is slightly different, but it's still, everybody treats you like, oh, it's so hard to describe because it was so fascinating. Like, because in some ways when you're pregnant or when you have a baby, you're slightly more visible, right? People give you a seat on the subway. People, like, just literally have to make room for you because, like, towards the end, I wasn't getting out of the way for anybody. I was like, if I was walking, I had a path and I couldn't, you're not getting 2 steps. What, I'm going to lean? Absolutely not.
No, you've got momentum. Lean
my shoulder so you can get, no. Like, I was just like a tank walking down the sidewalk. And also, like, because I also was, like, I know, walking a lot for some reason. Because it's good to stay active, but I think also to, like, try and get the baby to come, I was, like, walking. So I was just walking and I was just, like, plodding around, and, like, going to shows and stuff. But I was like, but then also you are sort of invisible because men don't want to have sex with you. And it was so wild to see what it was like to exist in that world. And, like, men don't care about women that they don't want to have sex with, but they're sort of supposed to care about you. So they're sort of supposed to give you a seat, but they don't really care that you're there or that you're alive. Like, it was fast. I was at a party and a guy, I was taught in this like a group of people. And I was like, that man doesn't see me. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I don't think that man knows I'm here. And he reached out and put his hand, tried to put his hand through me. Like, he like went to shake someone's hand and just was like, oh, I didn't see you there. And I was like, I knew it.
It's like, how can you fucking not? It's so weird.
I know. I'm 6 feet tall and out to here pregnant. But I wasn't useful to him.
Wow.
Or interesting. And I'm sure he would have like gotten out of the way if he'd seen me on the sidewalk. But like, other than that, I like didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And it was so lovely. Like, and then when you have like the fresh baby, mm-hmm. people are the same way, mm-hmm. where you're slightly more visible. People see the baby, but you're kind of slightly less visible in certain mm-hmm. ways. And I don't know about you, but people have always told me if one thing that like I hear as like a refrain is, oh, you'll miss catcalling when it's gone. Mm-hmm. I didn't miss it for a second. Mm-hmm. I haven't. Like, I...
No.
And it happens occasionally now, but not a lot. And not when I'm with the baby. And I don't miss it at all.
No, I haven't been catcalled in a bit. Probably because I've gained like 40 to 50 pounds. And so, yeah. So it's like, I just kind of don't get catcalled anymore. And kind of like same. What you're saying, like, I feel like a lot of people don't want to have sex with me anymore. Not that neither one of us isn't hot, but it's just like, we don't now fit this like specific...
yeah
role, I guess, or like ideal anymore. Yeah. And not actually trying to,
yeah, but yeah. And it's like, it's not that I don't want to feel sexy or desired, mm-hmm. but it's just like, I don't know, like, it's not that I don't want to feel sexy or desired, and I do in the ways that I want to, and in way, like, if I make it happen, like, I have to sort of work for that, mm-hmm. right? Like, or you know, or not, like, my husband's around and he like does really great work there too. But like, I don't know. It's like I'm secret hot. You know what I mean? When I like put it all together and mm-hmm. I like guss it up and get the girls up and out, then it's like, okay, I am ready to be perceived. I have done the work to like mm-hmm. put myself out there. And I don't know, I just feel like I didn't realize, everyone was like, oh, you'll miss it when you're gone. You're gonna miss catcalling. And I was like, no, I think women do sometimes, or I don't want to generalize, but for me anyways, I do want to be sexy and desired. But for me, catcalling was like, it's like a band-aid for internal bleeding. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? If I don't feel desired and I get catcalled, that doesn't help.
Yeah. And catcalling too, also to me was, you know, it wasn't really like, oh, I like this. It was like, oh, do I need to worry about this person? What type yes. of catcalling is this? Is this going to be like yeah. that guy that I flipped him off and then he ran across the street because I offended him after he catcalled me? Or is this going to be like a nothing thing? Anytime I was catcalled, yeah. I was on edge.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened. And so then me and Aaron were walking everywhere together. And so I'm never going to get catcalled with a man there because they respect the right. man. And I'm, you know, essentially like property now. And fun. And then I was working remotely too. And then all of a sudden it was just gone. You know, like, I wasn't out at yeah. night at much. And agree, I don't miss it. And if it does happen, I'm immediately like on edge. I'm immediately like, what is this?
Yeah.
Do I need to worry?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really nice. And then also, I don't know. Yeah. Then you also have this baby who gets your attention more. Mm-hmm. And so, and also then you're like, oh, I have to worry about the baby too. Like, one time a guy did like kind of harass me. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of unclear whether it was like a catcall or like wanting money situation, but I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is different. Like, mm-hmm. all my instincts are not necessarily to like ignore and just like, you know, curl up and like try and wait for it to pass. I was like, that's option one, but I was ready to be like, oh, I will murder you with my bare hands mm-hmm. if you fuck with my kid. I was like, oh, this is different. This is a different experience. Like, mm-hmm. Because I have to worry about like her and what's her role in this. Oh God, I am now suddenly dreading, like, because I think I got catcalled for the first time when I was like 11.
Yeah. It happens yeah. so young. It's literally the yeah. moment you get your period, because it's like your hips are starting to come in. You're starting mm-hmm. to just kind of like hit that, like those criteria that people are looking for. It's so fucking soon. And
yeah.
in New York too, the I mean, I'm so happy, or I'm so excited to have a kid, if we're able to have a kid, in the city. Like, I don't want a separate kid. I'm so happy that they're going to be cool and, like, interesting.
I'm so excited about raising a city kid.
But they grow up so quickly. Like, when I worked at Urban Outfitters, the 13-year-old women, and I called them women, they were girls. They scared the shit out of me. Because they just had, like, seen so much more than I had. And I think that can be really, really good in a lot of ways. But it's also, like, I want my kid to be able to stay as young as possible. Like, I don't want them to lose that either. And also, it's like, is this even a real problem? Or I'm just making this up in my head. And there's nothing to really worry about.
It'll be different then, like, you know, because I'm like, all right, well, I have however many years before I have to worry about that with my daughter. I do big brother, big sister, but she's 18. So it doesn't really, it's not official through the program anymore. But so I say I did. I don't mean like I stopped hanging out with her. I just mean she aged out of the program. But I was so excited to see that she stayed a kid for so long.
Oh, yay.
And it was like really reassuring. And then it was so wild. I went away for 3 weeks and we were texting, but we didn't talk on the phone. And then I came home and I called her and she answered the phone. And literally within seconds, I was like, it happened. She's a teenager. And she was like 15. And I was just so excited that she, like, not even just physically, just like emotionally, like she still was like, I don't know. She was super close to her mom. She was kind of naive in these like really beautiful, like lovely ways that made me so happy. And I was like, okay, it's possible. Like, it's possible to have a kid in New York City that is like still a kid. And maybe she was like, you know, young for her age until, it, you know, she was just like a late bloomer. But it was really nice. And she was,
No, I love that.
I mean, she also was still like such a sweet kid after she went through puberty, but it was very reassuring. And like, but I also am like, oh, I don't know what I would do. Like if somebody catcalled my daughter around me, like, and no one ever catcalled her and no one ever has when I'm around, because I think I give off such an aggressive vibe.
Just, you're just watching.
Yeah, I'm like watching. I'm like, my eyes are on you. On like every time we pass any man, I'm like, don't even. Like, I think it's like palpable.
I love that.
We'll see what happens.
It's so many things. It's so many things that I feel like, unfortunately, men just don't have to think about in the way that we do because we've experienced it and they haven't. And not to be so like polarizing or like men don't get it, blah blah blah. But there are just some things that it's like, we do have to worry, or like we have experience. So we, again, it's a little bit of protection. But it made me think of too, Erin has like, I guess it's like a second cousin. She's young. She's like maybe 11 or 12 and lives in Connecticut, but she has a friend from camp that lives in Park Slope in a brownstone. The brownstone's fucking gorgeous. And so she comes in all the time. And she wanted to hang out with us one day. So we like walked around the park with her, and I think her friend had like clarinet lessons or something. And that's why she wasn't with her friend. And so we were just like, so what did you like, what have you guys gotten up to? Like, what's going on? And they were like, yeah, we walked around in Soho. And then she took me up to her rooftop at night and we just like slept up there, or like, we just like stayed up there all night. And I was like, that's what I love. Like that that kids in the city get to have this just like crazy experience. And then we're like walking out of the park and she was like, there's ice cream. Like, can I buy you an ice cream? And I was like, no, you're 11, I'm buying you this ice cream.
Oh,
but that's adorable. But like, stay a child. Like, stay.
Yes,
I love how much you want to be a grown-up right now, but like, stay like as childlike as possible.
I know,
and that makes me very excited. And they're like, they're cool kids too, so it's like, oh, here's all this evidence of like, I don't know. I think growing up, we all heard like women are such bitch, or girls are such bitches when they go into PMS. And I wasn't. I was like such a great kid. And I don't know about you. Like, I think I did one thing where I snuck out with a boy and my mom was like, don't do that again. And like, I never did it again. You know, like it was like, I was like, I respect you. And like, I don't know. I
tried to sneak away once. My friends were all going away without me. And I like tried to, and it didn't work. And so, I don't think I ever did it again. It is weird. I think also we're taught to always like fear women who are younger than us. And so, and like, I don't know, there's this idea that teenagers set trends, which they do, but also like it's interesting getting older to be like, oh yes, okay, 100% teenagers do set trends, but also really kind of what's happening is older people set trends and then teenagers model them. Mm-hmm. Like models are teenagers, but they're not actually like designing the clothes. They're not pulling any strings. They're just like they're like the ornament on the car.
yeah they're just who gets pictured, you know. They're like right. The actors of the world, right? Like they're not the directors, they're not the editors, not the writers, or the like production or PA. We just see them, you know. We just see Bella and like Gigi Hadid. Right. Like, that's who we see.
And
I think the youth part is like really interesting too. Like I think I'm definitely starting to struggle with like my youth, like knowing that I am starting to lose it and quote unquote beauty and like how my body looks. And I don't know if you've dealt with this. Well, probably, you know, with America's Next Top Model, with like pictures popping up from like 10 years ago and you're like, oh, cool. I was really hot then. Do I feel that same way? And then the idea of gaining potentially 60 pounds with being pregnant and like how important it is to gain weight while being pregnant. And then I was telling my husband, I was like, I'm actually kind of nervous to gain weight. I don't know if I'm ready for this part. And he was like, I think you need to talk to your therapist about that one, because we
highly recommend,
you really need to be okay with that part. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You know?
Yeah. I will. So from my experience, I gained like 50 pounds right before I got pregnant. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I was like, not only like very close to what they called once and then never said around me again, a geriatric pregnancy. Mm-hmm.
So you were like over 35. Yeah.
I was like 35 when I gave birth, but for most of my pregnancy, I was 34. And so they said it like once, they were like, well, because you're going to be 35 when you give birth, it's technically a geriatric pregnancy. And I was like, I'm going to tell you right now.
Never again.
Like she was like, it's a dumb term. And I was like, then you should stop using it. And she was like, okay. I also like switched doctors. I was just like not fucking around. I was like, nah, I'm not doing this. But then also my BMI was such that they treated it as like high risk because I am overweight, even though I was super healthy and like and then I only gained 10 pounds during the pregnancy.
Oh wow.
Yeah. But I'd gained all this weight right beforehand. So when I gave birth, my body still felt really weird to me.
Oh.
And it's so much like, you know, and I don't know if I'd really processed like how I felt about my body when I got pregnant. And I remember being like, I wanted to lose this weight first.
Yes.
I was like, I wanted to get skinny and then get pregnant.
Yes.
And so my therapist and I did a lot of work on like, okay, like, how can you like care for your body and love your body even if you're not feeling great about it, and like finding ways to do that.
That is exactly where I am. Like when we had to stop trying in like August, I was like, well, you know what, I guess this gives me time to lose that weight I wanted to have to gain. It was like, I just want to like shuffle some here so it can come back here. And it was like, I'll catch myself being like, this is the dumbest thing to be thinking about. Who fucking cares? Yeah. And like you're saying, like, how can you be healthy? And it's like, I probably eat the best I ever have, you know, actually getting what I need. So it's like, when will I ever accept that maybe this is where my body was always supposed to be? And I'm not doing like a weird low carb diet where I eat 20 carbs a day and I'm telling myself eating like mayo on bacon is healthy, you know, like, but I can't, I just mentally have not been able to get there yet.
It's so weird. And it is weird. I was the same way where I was eating better. And a lot of it was quarantine. We were cooking. Mm-hmm. I was on a schedule for the first time in my life. And I wasn't on a diet for the first time since I had been like 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And it is a dichotomy. And it is weird that we sort of catch up like in practice before our brain gets there. Mm-hmm. Where I was nourishing my body, I was giving it what I needed, and then I was feeling weird, like I was feeling bad about it. And yeah, this idea of losing weight before getting pregnant. We got pregnant on the first try, and I kind of thought we wouldn't.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, well, I have time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I was like, oh well, which again, very lucky, like that it was wild and like it's great that it worked out that way. But I was like, oh no, I'm going to have time. I'm going to have time to get everything together and make everything right. And then I was like, oh, well.
I think that phrase is like something I say a million times a day of like, I have time. Like I have time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, one, a part of it is like, why do I think I have time? Why does this matter to be something that I need to have time for? And then I just think it goes back to diet culture, because there is this whole like, well, if you eat healthy, you're going to be skinny and you're going to lose weight and then you're going to look like this and like be perfect. When it's really like, oh, if you eat healthy, your body's going to get the nutrients that you need. And who knows what, how your body's going to react to that. Cause maybe you do just have, you know, more fat than other people, and that's okay.
Yeah. My grandmother got dementia at the end of her life. Mm-hmm. And she had been on a diet for so long, and she had starved herself for so many years, that the second her mind allowed her to, people actually had to kind of step in and prevent her from being in the kitchen or being around food unsupervised, because she would eat herself sick.
Oh my God.
Just over and over again, because finally her brain would let her.
Right. She was like released.
Yeah. She was like released from that diet that she had been on for, I mean, I don't know, like 60-70 years. Oh, I don't know. It's so sad. And I remember one of the last conversations I had with her is I was like, hey grandma, do you want a cookie? We were at a cafe, we were getting lunch, and she was like, Sarah, I didn't eat cookies for so long that I need you to know that now I always want a cookie. And she was like so sweet and so intense. Aww. And I was like, let's have a cookie. And she was like, I don't want to share it. And I was like,
don't have to.
We're not going to share it. Yeah. I was like, you know what? We're going to get three. And this one's yours and this one's mine. And however much of that one you want, you can have. And it was like being with like a little kid in some ways, because she was so happy and she was so excited. And it was like this really lovely moment. And I was sitting there like, I don't want to get to the end of my life and be like, I haven't had a cookie in 60 years. Mm-hmm. Like. And I remember I told my mom about that, and I think she feels differently now, and she's come like a long way, and honestly, power to her for like doing all of this work on herself after like so many years of being so stuck in diet culture. But mm-hmm. when I told her about that like a couple of years ago, she was like, that's going to be me. I'm never going to stop dieting. And I was like, that bums me right out.
Like, yeah, because it's like you can, and that makes me so sad. And then there's just like all the delusion behind it too, of like, this is healthy. And it's like they'll say like the most ridiculous, like, I don't eat foods that are brown, and you're like, do you hear yourself? Like, do you hear what you just said? Like, that is so dumb, that's so restrictive. And you're just like, but they're on their own journey. And there's so many times that I'm so happy I was born. Oh, wow. There's a lot of helicopters. What the fuck? Sorry. I live near Prospect Park, but that's not going towards Prospect Park. And that's way more than normal. Sorry. I get very excited that we definitely got stuck in part of diet culture, but I think I talked about this in the last podcast. Like, I do feel like our generation has really called bullshit on a lot of stuff, and it's really freeing with childcare, pregnancy, careers, diet culture, even clothing, of like, fuck you, like, this isn't how things should be sized. I remember I told Aaron how like pants work. He was like, why can't you just get the pants that you got last time that fit you? Like, why can't you just go like 33 by blah blah blah? And I was like, because there are no female pants that do that. Like, you know your size and you can always get those. We will never be able to do that, because it's just, I know. It's just.
And even the pants that theoretically go by that waist number aren't actually
correct.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Like, which is wild to me. Like, it's supposed to. I remember that, like, when I found out that fat people live longer than skinny people, I cried because I had just like, I realized that I had like come a long way in my self-acceptance, but I realized I was still holding on to this, like, well, yeah, I accept that I am worse. Mm. Like, that was the framework. Yes. And I was like, no, I've totally accepted that I am just like worse and not as healthy as I should be. And I was like, oh, that's not acceptance. That's not right.
That is something I have said. Like, holy shit. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, that's, and then to have this little chip of like, no. Like, it's not worse. It's not better. There's no morality to it at all. Mm-hmm. And the systems in place that want you to think that are like actively harmful and not based in reality. I was like, and not that everyone should go out and eat whatever they want and be super gluttonous. And I'm not glorifying obesity. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that fat people live longer, and whatever that makes people feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Made me feel a lot of things.
Yeah. As it should, because it's just, again, it's a thing that we've been told over and over again. That's just not true. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, but here are these literal facts, these literal stats. Why do you keep lying to us? Like, why do you keep trying to keep us down when it comes to this? Because I just get so, if I spiral, I just get so mad at the amount of time I think about my weight per day.
It's wild. This is the thing that was so hard to explain to, like I was trying to explain to my husband. I was like, because we have these friends who, like part of their vows was that they were going to like stay healthy together. And it was better than I'm making it sound. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I'm making it sound like they just like agreed to be on a diet. But it was beautiful. It was like beautiful. And he was like, that just seems like it might be. And I was like, look, I got to be honest with you. Like I was on a diet for 20 years and that part of my brain is like messed up. And so I can't, mm-hmm. that can't be part of our relationship. You can't comment on what I eat. You can't mm-hmm. really comment on my weight without it. Or you can, but if you do, the repercussion is that I will cry. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just what it is. And like explaining, yeah, just the amount of time every single day that I spend thinking of, that was the hardest thing to like, and I'm reading my diaries now from when I was on the show. And it's so sad because that's all I write about.
Yeah, because you're writing so many times too about it. Sorry, yeah. I didn't cut you off.
No. I'm writing about being on Top Model and like all that I write. And there's so many times where I'm like, okay, but what happened that day? Where are you? Why are you just writing about what you ate? And I'm like piecing it together, trying to remember where I was when I had the meal that I'm writing about feeling bad about eating. It's exhausting. And I'm like, girl, oh, man. Why is that what you're focused on? It's so sad.
And I'll never forget. I don't know if you said it on the podcast or if it was something like a clip I saw, how you talked about how when you were on America's Next Top Model, you were considered a plus size model, but you were like a size 4. Like,
no, I was a size 8.
Size 8. Still size 8. Such a normal, not all the sizes are normal. I need to change my vocabulary, but just such a like, you're like, what? So that's what you're feeding to people, that this is plus size, this is quote unquote fat. Yeah. I don't know. Like, you're just like, oh my God.
And I was so thin. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't even just like, because I think at the time in my head, I was like, oh, well, they're thin. That's what thin is. Ah, girl, I was skinny. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I was very angular, you know, but I felt so fat, and which I think is such a, it's so sad that that's like a universal like thing. Mm-hmm. And I think also that goes back to like what I was saying earlier, where it's like easier to bond over negative things. I think mm-hmm. another way that diet culture hurts everybody, but one way, you know, that it does hurt thin people is I think it's like verboten to say I am thin. Like that, can you, I mean, I don't know, because I've never thought it. I've never believed it.
Yeah. Same.
But, and honestly, like, I think I was thin when I was young, but I so didn't believe it that it's like that feels weird to say, and it feels like a lie. Mm-hmm. Like my heart is like, no, you're lying. Stop saying that. Mm-hmm. Like that, don't. But I would imagine for people who are like naturally like quite skinny, like the girls on the show, most of them were like naturally so thin. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't. You can say like, oh, I'm tall, skinny, and gangly and awkward. That's as close as you can get
mm-hmm. to saying thin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. It is true. Like I, looking back, definitely like in high school when I was like in crazy shape, I was super thin. But, you know, there was always like this number, this like unattainable number that you're taught. For me, it was 110. It was like, because I'm 5'2". So 5 foot, you should be 100. And then every inch is 5 pounds, which what the fuck?
Oh my God, wait, where did that come from? Because I had that exact,
I think.
So I was always like, I should be 140, which I don't even know if that's right. Is that right? You're 5 foot, you should be 100,
and then 5 pounds with each inch. So because you're 5'8",
I'm 5'11". Well, actually, I'm 5'11". So
then that, yeah, it'd be like 155 based off that.
But I always wanted to be 140. I don't know why.
No.
I just had that number.
I mean, I think it just came from my mom. Like, I think that's where I learned it. Yeah.
Where did they get it? Somebody told women that you were supposed to be 100 pounds and 5 foot.
Yep.
Somewhere.
Some Cosmo article was like, drink 2 martinis and eat an egg at lunch and you'll be 110 if you're 5'2". And you're just like,
yeah.
And then I look back.
And your bones will shrink so much that you get to be 5'2".
So much. Like, so much. I remember like Kim Kardashian like posted her like bone mass and she was like, I'm in the top percent. And then someone was like, No, you're not. You're actually in like this percentage, which means you're losing bone mass. And it's like, maybe get off the Ozempic. Like, maybe it's going to have terrible repercussions because you lost 16 pounds. That's what always drives me crazy too. Is like, people were like, I lost weight. It was like, but what did you lose? Did you lose bone? Did you lose muscle? Like, what did you actively lose? Like, because that's what.
Yeah.
But we just see that number. And then again, I can't judge because I weigh myself every day, you know?
Yeah.
Before and after I poop, you know, I want to know.
Well, that's just science. And that feels right to me. Like, I did get rid of a scale. But it just means that I get surprised at the doctor's office and get upset. So I'm still working. You know,
I've been trying to be like, I don't want to know my weight, but someone forgets because there's like multiple people. So you'll be like, I decline like getting weighed. And then someone will be like, oh, I see you weighed this. And you're like, what? Or like you do get on the scale and they just like, don't tell you. And you're just like, but don't.
Yeah.
Can we?
I know. I've never had the strength or the like follow through to make that happen. I just always. When they ask me to, I do.
Yeah. And I do and too then, sometimes because it's like, is this worth a fight? Like, you never know. I also feel like it's like, especially again for women, like you have to like choose your battles when you're going to the doctor, especially if you've got something going on. Like the amount of times I've been yelled at by male doctors because I wanted a procedure and then it turned out I was right. It's like, okay.
And isn't it wild how differently they treat you after I gained the weight? I was like, so surprised. It felt very different. It felt like quite jarring. Like I don't know, I had like an ear infection and someone told me to lose weight, and I understand that he wasn't saying like you will cure your ear infection if you lose weight, but it came up and I was like, why is this even like
The amount of times I went in, I was having like really bad headaches for like 6 months straight, and then I was having dizzy spells, which I think ended up being panic attacks, I think, or it could have been a type of migraine. Like, they're not, my neurologist wasn't 100% sure, but to even get to a neurologist, like to get them to approve that, I kept having people be like, we want to check you for diabetes. We think it's diabetes. We want to check you for diabetes. And I was like, I really don't think it is. I was like, do the fucking blood test, do whatever the fuck you want. It's not. And then I'd be fine. And they'd be like, oh, and they'd be confused. And it's like, because you. Yeah.
Oh, that was the worst. The surprise. They're like, oh, your blood pressure is actually okay. And I would be like, oh, I hear, like, just that word is enough to be like, fuck you. Like, fuck you. I mentioned that I switched doctors during my pregnancy. The first one that I went to, they wanted to get all this like crazy invasive genetic testing that has nothing to do with weight because I was overweight. And I was like, if that's your viewpoint going in, I'm 8 weeks along. I'm not playing this game with you.
No, I'm not doing that for 10 months. Absolutely not. Good for you. Like, absolutely good for you. And like advocating, being like, you know what? We're good.
It took so long. I've had so many conversations with doctors where I look back and I was like, oh, I just like kind of swallowed that and didn't even realize that it was messed up at the time.
Well, because we're kind of taught like we're supposed to trust them, like they're experts, and they absolutely are. They absolutely know more than us in so many subjects, but we know our bodies better. Like we know like, oh, hey, this ouchie, this isn't good, or this is weird. Like, hey, my body is spinning while I stand upright. Like something is wrong. Like I know.
Yeah.
Please trust me that this is not normal for me. And then there's this weird like confrontation with that, I feel like, with some doctors. The moment I feel like this feels really juicy to say, I try to stay away from men doctors. I try to find female doctors.
Oh, that's fair.
And usually they're better about it. I found one dude doctor that was great. My husband used him and I started using him and he was amazing. But then he left the practice and they wouldn't tell us where he went. And we were like, why not?
That's so rude.
I think they wanted us to stay at that place. But it was just like, okay, cool, great, love that.
Yeah.
But once you find a good doctor, you're like, that will just listen to you. Oh my God.
And even just like, listen and then be like, yeah, that sucks. Like, mm-hmm. instead of just being like, well, have you tried not being a woman? And it's like,
is it your period? Are you on your period?
Yeah.
Are you pregnant?
Yeah. Oh my God. Are you pregnant? Yeah. And then, yeah, it's just wild. Like the difference, of like how doctors treat you and just, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Which is also part of why I ended up doing a home birth, because like, it's very hard to control who delivers your baby if you deliver in a hospital. Mm. Even if you have a doctor that you like if something, you know,
maybe they're on vacation,
if they're not available for whatever reason. Yeah. Or like, so I was super glad that, yeah, it was just my midwife, who's amazing and like a bigger hippie than I am, in every way, everything. I would be like, yeah, we're totally on the same page. And then she'd be like, yeah, I breastfed till age 3. And I was like, oh, but I can't. Okay. That's
a long time. Yeah.
A lot. Yeah. And like, you know, oh yeah, home births. And then like, yeah, eating the placenta. And I was like, nope. Okay. See, again, it's one step too far and I can't do that. I'm not doing that.
It's a little too crunchy for me. Like, I love that for you.
I love that for you.
Just a little too much for me.
I need a little satin with my crunch. That's too much. Yeah. Cause I gave birth. I'm looking at the spot where I gave birth. I'm very crunchy, but I
Has been an amazing conversation. I love how you're just so willing to go deep and so quickly. And it's a really cool thing a person does. And I can't thank you enough.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Yeah.
It's compulsive.
It's compulsive. It's clinical.
It's a problem sometimes. But with podcasts, it's good.
Well, and you didn't mention this in the podcast, but you're also sick, and I can't thank you enough for coming on and taking this time. And I'm totally so happy for you and your family.
Thank you. I'm so happy for you. Your wedding pictures, they were so beautiful. You looked so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
It was amazing. So congratulations
to
you too.
Thank you so much.
Remember to rate, like, subscribe, review, share, download, what have you, Awkward Sex in the City. You can follow us at Awkward Sex in the City on all the socials. And if you ever want to, you can email me at awkwardsexandcity@gmail.com. And remember, you can follow Sarah at Sarah B. Hartshorn on the socials as well. See you guys soon. We'll talk soon. What? Yeah. Okay. Bye.